This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. We've got a DFS show for Wild Card Weekend. We've only got four games to cover, but Tags and I have a lot of notes. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tags, how you doing, man? You feeling any better?
Unfortunately not, man. Now my son is sick. My wife is still getting over her sickness. Like, it's just this, if you have the flu or if you have something that feels like the flu or some other sort of upper respiratory issue, seriously, I highly suggest going to the doctor. I don't know what they can do for it. I don't think they can do much, but man, it's been a week and a half now that I've been sick, and I'm sure you can tell by my voice after listening to it all season that it's not quite right.
I haven't got it yet, and I'm really hoping that I don't. I try as often as I can to never leave my house, especially during flu season, so hopefully I don't pick it up. We're all going to go down to Vegas, the Fantasy Pros team, and get together and see some of the guys because we all work remotely, so I'm really hoping nobody is sick down there. And it's going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm looking forward to that, meeting all the new guys and playing some softball or whatever it is we do.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait for it. It's just getting out of the house. That's the thing. I didn't even leave the house. I think my wife brought the sickness in, and that's how I got it. But we were talking about before we even started the podcast is that, like, in season, my friends don't know who I am. Like, legitimately, they have no idea what's been going on in my life for the last 4 months because they don't even bother to call anymore because I'm always turning them down. So look forward to getting back some of the social life and getting out and meeting some good people.
So, Tags, it's so weird, man. Like, during the season, we're all in these routines. Like, I write the same 7 articles every single week. This week is a lot different. I don't know what your schedule looks like. Like, you're still doing the primer, right? What else are you talking about?
Yeah, so I am still doing the primer for this week, and I just released it this morning. I'm going to do it next week. I'm not going to do it for the championship round because there's only 2 games and it doesn't make sense to do it. But I am still doing the DraftKings cash game lineup. So if you guys listen to the podcast and you're like, I don't really remember who he said or whatever, you can always reference that. That's going to come out Friday morning this week. So tomorrow morning that'll come up. And I'm doing some pieces looking forward into 2018. I let out my early rankings, and next week it's a really fun article. I've never written anything like it, but I went back and looked at the 2017 draft and I said, what would have been the perfect draft? And no, I'm not talking about going through and picking, you know, who finished top 2 quarterbacks, top 3 running backs. No, I went by ADP that going into the season and who was the best pick from every round. So it's a draft that you actually could have had when you were drafting your fantasy team. And it's insane to see the team that you could have come up with had you drafted like perfectly.
That sounds really fun, man. I like that article. My favorite article that I wrote this week, at least in terms of fun writing it, was my early rankings article. I did like the top 50 running backs, top 60 wide receivers, and so forth. And in order to do that, like, I had to predict where each player was going to go. I also did drafted players. I saw that you did it without the drafted players, but mine was a little bit different. And that was a lot of fun to write. I did an article I just released right before we recorded this. NFL.com does a playoff contest. It's called the NFL Playoff Challenge. And, you know, if you want to do something with your friends, I did it there. What I did was I basically broke down how many games each player was projected to play based on 1,000 simulations. And it was a lot of fun to do as well. So we're cranking those ones out. I'm also doing my FanDuel article. And Tags, let's talk about that here. We're going to do FanDuel, DraftKings, as we usually do, but we're going to mix it up a little bit here. And instead of just going position by position, since there's only four games, I think it's going to be more effective to go game by game. But first, I want to talk about the overall strategy of this week. I mean, I'm looking at two running backs that I think are just absolute locks. I think you have to use them in cash games. I'm entirely building my lineups around Todd Gurley and Leonard Fournette. I don't care if that means I have a bum at wide receiver and tight end. I am making sure I get those two workhorses in my lineup.
I am definitely with you on Fournette. I think he's a must play, and I know we're going to talk about that in a minute. Gurley is a fine play. I have no issue with playing Gurley, but I would rather play Travis Kelce. I don't think that there's anybody even close to him at the tight end position, whereas at the running back position, you could probably get some volume from some of the lower price guys that we're going to talk about. But I have no, like I said, I have no issue with Gurley, but there's no way that I could play Fournette, Gurley, and Kelce. There's just no way to fit them all in one lineup in DraftKings, especially. So for me, my locks are Leonard Fournette and Travis Kelce. Those are like the must plays.
Okay. I mean, I think that's fair. You could get away with doing it, but we'd be talking about, like, you're using Deontay Thompson and Allen Hurns and stuff like that. So Tyrod Taylor, no, I don't think you want to go that route. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense. I just think tight ends are so volatile. Even Travis Kelce, like, there's a chance he busts. Just look at what Gronk did last week, right? He was the clear-cut best play. Zero targets. It was just horrible. And that's what happens two or three times every season with Gronk, Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz. It's just the nature of the position. So I want the surefire, you know, 15 to 30 points with Todd Gurley.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I understand the Todd Gurley love, but Kelce, as far as Gronk last week, I think that really came down to the Patriots and what they wanted to expose him to. I don't think that the Patriots wanted to expose him in that game. That's why they didn't even, I think he had maybe one target all game. So he wasn't even involved in the game plan. So he was out there kind of as like a dummy, just running around and not putting at any risk. So I think that's what they went with Gronk. I'm not worried about that with Kelce against the Titans. The Titans defense is just, they're so bad. And specifically against the tight end position, they've been really bad too. So are we going to start in that game, Kansas City and the Titans?
Yeah, Saturday afternoon game. Let's do it. Here at quarterback, we've got Alex Smith, who's actually the top projected quarterback of the week, according to our expert projections. And then we've got Marcus Mariota, who, as we know, is just kind of worthless. Like, you can use him in GPP, but for cash games, you should not even be thinking about him.
I wouldn't even use Mariota in tournaments. Nothing. Like there's certain players that you have to kind of, like, in a slate like this, you can't spread it out because there's only so many players. You have to stick to your guns, right? And Marcus Mariota offers nothing. He offers me legitimately nothing in a tournament. And the reason I say that is because the Chiefs over the last 2 years have allowed just 16.5 points per game at home. As I mentioned in the last podcast, they have yet to allow a team more than 21 points since week one of 2016 at home. So they're not going to score points. They play at an extremely slow pace. Marcus Mariota has been really bad. Can he run for a touchdown? Absolutely. But is that going to be enough to win you a tournament? My answer would be no. I actually, the quarterback on the other side of the field is my favorite quarterback in both tournaments and cash. Alex Smith will be in every single one of my cash lineups. There's nothing you could do to talk me off of that. And then as for tournaments, I think he presents the upside there too. My only concern is that Tennessee is just a really slow playing team. They just play really slow. The games tend to drag out a lot. That's my only concern with Alex Smith in terms for tournaments, but there's going to be a high, high floor for him against Tennessee.
You know, Marcus Mariota, like, if you want someone to reach GPP value, Mariota's going to have to get at least 20 fantasy points in this game. Do you know how many times he did that this season, Tags?
Zero.
Zero. Zero, man. There's no chance that it is happening in Kansas City. I'm sorry. I have no interest in Marcus Mariota in GPP. I know his ownership is going to be like 1, 2, 3%, and you're going to think you can get cute and everything. Don't do it. It's just an absolute waste. You're flushing money down the toilet. I love Alex Smith. I love him for GPP and cash games. He's not my number one quarterback, though. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Let's move on to running back in this game. Tags, how much do you like Kareem Hunt?
I don't like him a lot at all. I think there's a lot of people that are going to play him because they, I mean, obviously he's been playing well as of late. Some people were posting things on Twitter saying that he's getting more carries on the goal line. And I understand that once they took away the play calling duties from Andy Reid, but Tennessee as a defense is so good as a run defense. You know, a lot of people talk about Todd Gurley and what he did to them a couple weeks ago. He didn't do much on the ground. Todd Gurley is actually the only running back to rush for more than 77 yards against them all season. They've only allowed 4 rushing touchdowns on the year and none since week 12. Gurley's damage that he did came through the air. He caught 10 balls for 158 yards and 2 touchdowns. And that's not to say that Kareem Hunt can't do that. I think Kareem Hunt's in play for tournaments. I don't think you can completely, you know, cross him off your list like you do with Marcus Mariota. But if you're thinking about using Kareem Hunt in cash, like, think again. Don't do it.
I agree. Yeah, I'm not using Kareem Hunt in cash. I mean, I'm looking at his rushes, 25, 24, 29. That is really appealing, especially when you mix in 5 receptions each game, right? But like you said, Tennessee's just too good. There's other good running back plays. And Tennessee's not too good. Their run defense is too good to use Kareem Hunt, who's just been not really reliable this season. So I'm avoiding Kareem Hunt. Now, I do like Derrick Henry at his price with DeMarco Murray rolled out now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have no issue with people liking Henry. He's like a really tricky one to project for this game because obviously, as you mentioned, DeMarco Murray's out, which makes you like him more. But do we like him in negative game script? And that's kind of how we have to play this out, right? Because the Chiefs are favored to win by 8 points, 8.5, whatever it is now. It's gone up since this game came out. I think people are catching on to the fact that the Chiefs are just a really good team at home, that it's really difficult to play there. So with that being said, I don't know if, first off, you're not going to play him in cash. Like that's absolutely, there's only been 2 running backs who have totaled more than 79 yards on the ground against the Chiefs. And both of those running backs saw at least 27 carries. Obviously he's interesting in tournaments because Derrick Henry is the type of player like he did last week where it's like, you know, he can have 20 carries for 40 yards, but then he can catch one ball and take it 70 yards for a touchdown. He has that breakaway potential. He's done it more often than most players this season. So he's definitely in play for tournaments and he's a really good play in tournaments. As a matter of fact, and I just don't know how high he'll be owned because people want to play Kareem Hunt. They want to play Todd Gurley. They want to play Leonard Fournette. So I think Derrick Henry's an interesting one in tournaments for sure.
Yeah. I like Derrick Henry in tournaments. I mean, there's a chance that he goes for 150 total yards, scores 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He has that kind of upside. Like with DeMarco Murray out this season, even with the state of the Titans offensive line, I would have thought Derrick Henry could be a top 5, top 6 running back, right? I mean, he has that upside. Kansas City's not the best matchup, but for GPP, you can certainly do worse than Derrick Henry. I actually like him better in GPP than I like Kareem Hunt. I know Kareem Hunt has big time upside, but against Tennessee, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, they're in the same category for me. I think they're both interesting tournament plays. I think Henry might be a little more interesting to me just because he's going to have lower ownership than Kareem Hunt, I would assume. I do know that his price is lower, so that's always nice. So yeah, they're in that same territory for me, though. Kareem Hunt has what you look for, though. Like, ideally, when you start mocking up your DFS teams, you want running backs who are guaranteed a big workload. You want one that's playing at home. You want one who's a big favorite. Kareem Hunt has everything lined up here. It's just the matchup isn't great. So again, I'm fading Kareem Hunt in terms of, you know, what most people would do, but Alex Smith and turning it around. Like, if you want to play Kareem Hunt in a tournament, I urge you to stack him with Alex Smith, because if he does get his touchdowns and if he does go off, a lot of it's going to come through the air.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yep, totally agree. Let's move on to wide receiver for this game now. I would never advise using Tyreek Hill in a cash game. However, this week, I mean, there's only Michael Thomas and Julio Jones who are better than him, and then there's a pretty steep drop-off. So he's actually on my radar if you have some money to spend. I don't have money to spend, so I'm not going Tyreek Hill. What do you think, Tags?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. Like, I've thought about this a lot because I obviously like Alex Smith, and I have to pick my poison because I can't afford Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and that's why I'm going with Kelce. But Tyreek Hill, solid play. Definitely like him. I think he's better in tournaments, though, because Hill has been kind of like a player who, if he doesn't break that long play, he's not really hitting value. And on such a small slate, you really can't afford to do that when you're paying up as much as Tyreek Hill is. Like, you need Tyreek Hill to score at least 15 PPR points in order to justify even playing him in cash. And I just don't know if that's a guaranteed thing. Me personally, I know this sounds like a crazy lunatic thing, and you're going to see it in my cash game article tomorrow, but Albert Wilson is someone that I'm thinking about using in cash to save some money. Ever since week 12, like the start of week 12, since that time, he's averaged 6.7 targets per game. And to keep things in perspective, Tyreek Hill averaged 7.0 targets per game this year. So he's 0.3 targets per game below Tyreek Hill. In those games, you know, he's caught at least three passes in five of the six. And he dominated in week 17, 10 catches, 147 yards, didn't score. But I know that was Patrick Mahomes and there was things that were different about that game. But Albert Wilson's the type of guy where I think you could lock into three or four catches for at least 40, 50 yards. And on such a small slate, paying $3,300 on DraftKings for someone like that, it's going to allow you to stack your lineup elsewhere. So I think that Albert Wilson's someone that I would think about in cash.
You know, he's a solid receiver, too. I mean, last week he put up 147 against the Broncos. I trust Albert Wilson. I don't think he's going to have a big game. But you know what? He's the best matchup of anybody on the slate. So he's a solid cash game play. I'm fine with that. My cash game play, it might sound crazier, but it's Eric Decker. I've got Eric Decker in all my cash game lineups. You look at the Titans since week 12. Eric Decker leads them with 32 targets. Corey Davis has 26. Rishard Matthews is all the way down at like 21 or something like that. Eric Decker has been getting passes thrown his way. The Chiefs, again, don't have a great secondary. So for super cheap, I think Eric Decker is a solid bet. And we know he's got touchdown upside too. He's done it his entire career until this year. So, you know, I think he's a decent bet to get a touchdown too.
Yeah, Decker's a type of guy, like in the primer that I wrote this week, I did say that cash was the only way that I would use him. I wouldn't use him in a tournament just because I don't think that he offers much touchdown upside with Mariota. Whatever the case is, he just hasn't clicked like that. And yes, he's been a touchdown scorer his entire life, but he has one touchdown this year. He has started to show more chemistry, you know, getting those targets from Mariota. As you mentioned, he's been like the number one option kind of in this offense. His matchup in the slot with Steven Nelson isn't a bad one. So yeah, I mean, Rishard Matthews is going to match up with Marcus Peters, who has played better since they benched him in week 14. Over the last 2 weeks of the season, he allowed just four catches for 59 yards on 16 targets. He intercepted Phillip Rivers twice. So Rishard Matthews is going to see a lot of him. Corey Davis has been extremely inconsistent. So yeah, I mean, I think Decker is the one I would choose of them, but I think you could do better in cash though.
All right, so you said Travis Kelce's a lock. What about in GPP? Like, are you definitely using him there too?
Yeah, I mean, there I might have to differentiate. That's where it comes down to how many like tournaments are you playing, right? Like, are you sticking with one lineup? Like, because you want to play one lineup in cash, two at the max, but this short of slate, you want one. But as for tournaments, like, it just depends on how many lineups you're setting. I mean, you want to play the optimal plays, right? Because it's not really a time to get cute because there's not 16 games. This is four games. Like, if people are playing, let's pretend that you go in a tournament and you hit on everything, but you miss Kelce and he has one of those 100-yard, two touchdown games. You legitimately have no shot in a tournament if you didn't get Kelce. Like, that's how I feel about it. So I think he's the only one on the slate that has a matchup that calls for it. Delanie Walker's matchup isn't great against the Chiefs. They'd played well, even without Eric Berry. Then you have Greg Olsen against the Saints. The Saints have been really, really good against tight ends this year. So, I mean, I don't really see another tight end in the slate that can potentially have a tournament winning performance outside of Travis Kelce. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm setting five lineups, he's probably going to be in four of them.
I'm not interested in Charles Clay whatsoever for cash game or GPP. There's just other GPP options I like better. We're going to talk about some of those soon. I love Kelce for GPP, but I mean, for cash games, I already talked about it. I just think Gurley's a near lock to get 2x. Travis Kelce needs a touchdown to get 2x. Like, almost certainly needs a touchdown to get 2x. I would rather just know what I'm getting with, we'll talk about my guy later, but I would know what I'm getting with a super cheap guy, save some money, and, you know, it not be too exciting rather than take a 50-50 chance. I think there's a 50% chance Kelce doesn't score a touchdown here. And I'm looking at it. I mean, like, projected points, 13.5. Second best is all the way down to 8.7. He's by far the best tight end on the slate. But for his price, I just don't know if I want to pay it.
I mean, I understand the price thing, and that's where it comes down to preference. And I think there's probably going to be some people siding with you. I think it's going to be a mix. Like, I'm interested to see Kelce's percentage ownership, especially in cash. I would assume it's going to be somewhere around 50 to 60%. That's what I would guess on such a small slate. But we'll see, because obviously you're paying up for him. Because, I mean, 7,100, though, that's, I mean, I explained it last time we had our the DFS show last week where, you know, you need to like change the way of thinking, because I had the same problem when I was playing DFS when I was like a little less experienced. I would hesitate to pay that much for a tight end because it's just like, whoa, these other guys are like 3,000-4,000. And we know that they're starters. Like, what's the deal? But when you compare him to the wide receivers that you're starting, it's really not a bad price to pay at all. Like, Travis Kelce would have been a top 12 wide receiver this year with his numbers, and he's playing the tight end, the most volatile position in sports. So, I mean, yeah, definitely love Kelce this week.
Yeah, he's definitely my number two. I would love to be able to spend that money, but Gurley's just too important to me on this slate. Before we get on to the next Saturday game, college bowl season's mostly over, but if you're planning on betting on the championship game, go check out TeamRankings.com. TeamRankings offers data-driven picks for college bowl pick'em pools, plus spread picks, over-under picks, and much more. We may be the fantasy pros, but these guys are the office pool pros. Last year, their customers won college bowl pick'em pools and confidence pools 5 times as often as expected. They also do great March Madness stuff. In fact, it's my favorite site for March Madness stuff. So when that comes around, remember TeamRankings.com. They have all kinds of awesome stuff that they have to offer. Just go to TeamRankings.com/fantasypros for exclusive discounts of up to 75% off on their bowl information. We're also going to have some stuff out for March Madness as well. Again, that's TeamRankings.com/fantasypros. All right, Tags, for this Saturday night game, we've got the Rams at the Falcons. What do you think at the quarterback position?
This is a funny one because, like, this is Jared Goff cash game play, but not tournament play. That's how I feel about Goff this week. And I've been pretty spot on when it comes to Goff and, like, trying to forecast what he's going to do. The Falcons are like that middle of the road defense. They're like the bend but don't break. They've allowed at least 11 fantasy points to every quarterback they've played. And that's, like, really hard to do. That means they didn't completely shut down any one quarterback the entire season. However, they only allowed 2 quarterbacks to score more than 20 points against them. So they've been really just like this defense that will let you get whatever you need to get, but they're not going to let you like blow them up. And I think that's going to be the case again. I mean, again, we're talking about this experienced team that's been through the Super Bowl run last year, talking about an inexperienced Rams team. So my stat line projection for Jared Goff is going to be anywhere. It's going to be right in between 225 yards, 275 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's good enough for cash lineups, but I don't think I would play him in tournament lineups this week.
I'm the opposite. I'd play him in tournaments any week. I mean, he's had 4 weeks where he's got 23 plus points. That's tournament winning quality for a guy like Jared Goff. As far as cash games go, I mean, he's been touchdown dependent this year, right? He's had some real bad games, and it's because he had 1 touchdown. He just doesn't throw enough passes. Like, he's got over 35 passes just a couple times this season. He's probably going to throw 25 to 35 passes this week. He's probably going to get 1 or 2 touchdowns. There's a chance he gets 4, though. And if he gets 4 and you have him in GPP, you've got a good chance to win, right? So I can use him in GPP. There's no way I'm using a guy throwing 28 passes this week in a cash game.
Well, so that's the thing. So I mentioned that there's been 3 quarterbacks to score 20 or more fantasy points against the Falcons. And 2 of those quarterbacks were Russell Wilson and Cam Newton, who ran each for 86 yards and a touchdown. Like, we're not going to see Jared Goff do that. The Falcons also have not allowed any quarterback to throw more than 2 touchdowns. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, I think his ceiling is capped, but I do think that he's viable for cash games. I think you're getting a lock, like 225 yards touchdown. That's like a minimum, but I think you're going to get 2 touchdowns out of him. I think you're going to get 250 yards.
Yeah. As for Matt Ryan, I mean, there's no sense in playing the quarterback who gets the Rams this week. And there's no sense in playing Matt Ryan in GPP. He doesn't have over 20 points once all season. And in cash games, he's been a top 9 quarterback just once all season. So just no on Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, the high scoring nature of this game, the fact that it could be a potential shootout, I don't think it's going to be. But the fact that it is, I guess that he has a little bit of a ceiling because Julio can kind of take the top off of a defense and all you need is a couple bombs and he's there. But I'm not attacking Matt Ryan. Like, if you're setting a ton, like if let's say that you're playing in 20 different tournaments and you're setting a bunch of different lineups, yeah, maybe throw him in 1 or 2, but don't overexpose yourself to Ryan.
So I already talked about Todd Gurley quite a bit. Where does he stand for you? Like, is he your third running back that you'd be willing to use, or is he further down the line? And what about Devonta Freeman?
Well, I would still hold on a second. So I want to make it sure so that I would still say I project him to be the number one running back. Like, him and Leonard Fournette are extremely close, but I would definitely give the edge to Gurley, especially in a PPR format. But the problem is he's just so expensive. Like, he is $2,300 more than Leonard Fournette. And that's the thing. That $2,300 goes a long way in terms of what I'm trying to do in my lineups. So that's the only reason I haven't ended up with Gurley on my cash lineup. But I do think he's cash game viable. Like, I think that 100%. Like, if you don't feel the need to play Travis Kelce, yeah, put Todd Gurley in your lineup. Like, he is a rock solid play, especially because the Falcons, they're similar to the Titans. When I was researching this game, there's a lot of similarities between the two defenses where the Falcons, there was just one running back who ran for more than 80 yards against them. They haven't allowed too many touchdowns on the ground, but they have allowed so much through the air. And we've seen Todd Gurley see so many targets. He's averaged 6.3 targets per game since the start of week 7, which is just ridiculous. That's like wide receiver targets. So you're getting a running back and a wide receiver. Again, I have no issue with Gurley in tournaments or cash. He's just not winding up in mine as of right now.
A really good running back and a really good wide receiver. I mean, he is just phenomenal what he's doing this year. Now, the Rams, they let up a lot of points to running backs. I don't really like the projected game script, but for GPP, I mean, I could see this being a game where the Falcons are up 2 touchdowns. Devontae Freeman gets 20-plus touches. I know it hasn't happened that much this season, but, you know, Freeman is the type of running back who could have a monster game, especially against the Rams.
He is the type of player to be able to. The concern is that he's missed some practice time this week with a knee injury that he suffered in week 17. That's not good, especially when you've seen 12 or less carries in 8 of your last 10 games. Like there's an issue there. And if they decide to say, you know, we're going to give Tevin Coleman more of a run because you're not 100%, that makes a ton of sense. So I would actually turn over and I would play Tevin Coleman over Devonta Freeman. I just feel like he's safer. He's so cheap. You're only paying $4,100 on DraftKings for Tevin Coleman, which is a steal, which is why I'm moving towards putting him in my cash game lineup, just because we know he's going to get anywhere from 6 to 10 touches, you know, somewhere in that range. And that's if Devonta Freeman's perfectly healthy, but he's not going to be. So I'm expecting somewhere around the 12 touch mark against a Rams team that really did struggle against a lot of running backs this week. So Tevin Coleman is definitely cash game viable, I think, with his price. I don't know what it's like on FanDuel with him, but and in tournaments, you could play either Devonta Freeman or Tevin Coleman. But as of right now, it's shaping up to be Coleman for me.
What about both in a GPP contest? I mean, we've seen this last year. They were both top 10 running backs, what, 5 times? I know it's a different offense and everything, but I think there's a chance that that could actually pay off. And I'll tell you what, far less than 1% of people are going to be doing that.
I think it's funny you mentioned that, because like when I was going through and building some cash lineups, like I looked at that because the Rams are one of the better matchups for running backs. And if Atlanta, you know, attacks that it would be a good thing. And if you're even if you're paying for both of them, you're only paying around $10,000. So it's not bad. But at the same time, this game is in LA. Devonta Freeman, if you look at his splits over his career, especially at the last 3 years, I think he's been so much better at home or indoors. He hasn't been nearly the running back that he is at home on the road. That concerns me a little bit. So that's why that's why I start leaning more towards Tevin Coleman.
Okay, that's fair. Now let me ask you a question. This probably isn't going to happen. At least it looks like Freeman is going to play, whether it's limited or he's banged up or whatever. But let's say he gets ruled out. Would Coleman be a lock in cash games for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, he would be in every single... I wouldn't even be shy about it. I'd play him in every single lineup.
Yeah, me too. I would take Gurley out of my lineup, and then I'd load up at wide receiver and tight end, just because he's so cheap. I'd use Fournette and Tevin Coleman, and it wouldn't even be close. I wouldn't even think about anybody else.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Now, you mentioned this is going to be a high-scoring game. At least that's what Vegas is calling for. I don't really love the wide receivers in this game, however, at least for cash games. Like, Julio's just not super safe. He doesn't really score touchdowns. I'd love to see that change. And then I don't know what's going to happen with the Rams offense. You know, Robert Woods is back, but he hasn't been spectacular. Cooper Kupp is consistent, but I don't really see him having a big game. And then Sammy Watkins is just boom or bust. You can't use him in a cash game. GPP, yeah, he's a great option again, but he's not really getting enough targets to really explode either. So I don't love any of the options here. I guess Julio for a GPP contest is great, but for cash games, I don't want to use any of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay up for Julio in cash. The Rams have been really good against wide receivers this year. They've only allowed 10 wide receiver touchdowns all season, and 2 of them came in week 17 when they were resting their starters. So it's not a great matchup for the touchdown lacking Julio Jones. But again, you never cross off Julio in tournaments. I don't care who he's playing against. But as for the Rams, Cooper Kupp's cash game viable. He has a really good matchup in the slot against Brian Poole. The Falcons, if you kind of look at the secondary and how teams would attack them, Robert Alford and Desmond Trufant, have they been stone cold locks? Like you can't throw on them? No, but they are more intimidating than Brian Poole. Brian Poole has been targeted 77 times in coverage. He's allowed 65 catches on those 77 targets. That's an 84.4% completion rate. There isn't another full-time cornerback who allows more than 78%, which kind of gives you an idea that if Cooper Kupp If Cooper Kupp sees six targets, he's catching at least five of them, maybe all six. So therefore, you know, we do want to play him in cash lineups. I don't know. I think he's viable in tournaments as well, but he hasn't really been that go-to guy in the red zone. So that's the part where I'm like a little hesitant on that, but I definitely feel like he's cash game viable.
Man, that pool stat is just incredible. That is horrific. That is so bad.
He's not very good at football.
You know, the one other thing I want to mention about Cooper Kupp, he's banged up. I mean, he has a knee issue. I don't know if it was just a minor thing, but I don't know if he's going to be 100%. If I'm spending in that range, I like Sanu a little bit better.
Sanu's matchup isn't great either. Like, that's the thing is, like, this Rams defense has done so good against wide receivers. Nickel Robey Coleman. So I want to visit back last year with the Bills. Nickel Robey Coleman came from the Bills. It seems like a lot of Bills actually came out to LA thinking about it. Robert Woods. A lot of people left. Sammy Watkins. But Nickel Robey Coleman was someone who, over the first, I want to say it was 4, 6, 8 weeks of the season. It was the first half of the season last year. He was playing like player of the month. Like, he was that good in coverage. Like, he was shutting down the slot. Nobody was able to get anything done against him. And then something happened where all of a sudden he was just getting blown up, and he ended up getting benched later in the year. He left, and he's been remarkable for the Rams this year. He's quarterbacks have just a 77.5 quarterback rating when targeting him in coverage. He's allowed just 9.1 yards per reception. He's keeping plays in front of him. Mohamed Sanu, he has yet to record more than 85 yards this season. So I just don't know if he has the upside for tournaments that you would want. I mean, he might, considering it's such a small slate, but I don't know if he's safe enough for cash with the matchup that he has against Robey Coleman.
Do you have any interest whatsoever in Robert Woods or Sammy Watkins?
Tournaments only. And I'd probably prefer Watkins in tournaments because people are going to play Woods. Nobody's going to play Watkins. So in tournaments, I think I'd rather play him than Woods. I think Woods, you mentioned it, he hasn't really been the exact same since he came back from his injury. So there might be something to that. Maybe during that time, Sammy Watkins, you know, develops more chemistry with Jared Goff. And if that happens, great. So Sammy Watkins, I think, is a solid tournament play.
Now, we know that nobody in this game at tight end is cash game viable, like not even close. But Austin Hooper, he's had a few big games. Tight end is so volatile that we could be talking about someone who has 30 yards and a touchdown being the number one tight end this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just say Travis Kelce goes for 70 yards and on four receptions and doesn't get a touchdown. That's a pretty decent game, right? But it would be trumped by someone who gets 30 yards and a touchdown. So there's a chance that Gerald Everett does it. There's a chance that even the Falcons' backup tight end does it. So what I'm saying to you is just get exposure all over the place at tight end if you're playing GPP contest, because one of these random dudes has a chance to be the top tight end.
That's the thing. That's what you always run into in tournaments, even in a 16-game slate. It's like you can't expose yourself to just one tight end with how volatile they are. But with that being said, I wouldn't actively attack anybody from this game. Like, Austin Hooper's been pretty awful. They've taken targets away from him as the season's gone on because he just hasn't been very good with them. The Rams haven't been a defense to target with tight ends. They've allowed just three tight ends to top 58 yards all season. Higbee and Everett are sharing time. They're splitting targets. Like, there's so much that not to like about that situation. So if you're going to play one, I guess it would be Austin Hooper because Taylor Gabriel is not going to play this game. So that's where I would look, because he might get more targets because of that. So Hooper, okay, if you're playing a lot of tournament lineups, maybe putting him in one or two just to see if he hits.
All right, Tags, let's go Sunday morning here. And the Sunday morning game, we've got the Jags against the Buffalo Bills. And I'm starting to get a little worried about this game. Like, if you look at the Jags schedule, it was by far the easiest schedule in the NFL this year. And I think a lot of people are forgetting that. They're just like, yeah, they won 10 games. It was easy. You know, they looked so great doing it. Their point differential was great. They whooped a bunch of really easy teams. I'm not so sure they're very good. Obviously, the Bills are not good. In fact, I think the Bills are worse than they usually are and somehow made the playoffs. It's kind of remarkable, Tags, right? I mean, they traded away all these players. They let a bunch of people walk. They traded Marcell Dareus in the middle of the season to the Jags, and they still made the playoffs. I'm not so sure this is going to be a positive game script for the Jags.
I am positive it's going to be. The Bills have no shot in this game. And that's the thing. The Jags, have they had an easy schedule? Yeah, I guess. I mean, it hasn't been. I think the NFL, I don't know if we can call anybody's schedule easy, because it's like the whole any given Sunday thing. That's a real thing. I think that the Bills and the Titans in the playoffs just shows you that not the best teams make the playoffs. Just because your record says that you're better than another team, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. And the Bills have no business in the playoffs. They really don't. They don't have a team that's built to go anywhere. I said it last show. Blake Bortles is the only way that the Jaguars lose this game, and I don't see that happening. Tyrod Taylor, he can't put a team on his back and do this. He can't do it. Like, he can't do it in a regular game, let alone against a Jaguars defense that's going to literally take away Zay Jones. They're going to take away Kelvin Benjamin. And who are you going to throw to? Like, that's the thing, is like, when you break this thing down, LeSean McCoy, he said earlier today that he wants to play, being able to cut as hard as he can. And that's probably not going to happen by Sunday morning. So LeSean McCoy, if he plays, I don't think he's going to be very good. There's nothing. There's nothing here. So the Bills generated just 56% of their yards through the air this year, which was the lowest in the NFL. That mean, it just goes to show you how much they rely on the run game. There's nothing to like here. McCoy doesn't have a solid backup. Legitimately, I'd bet a lot of money on the money line of this game for the Jaguars to win. Again, Bortles, only thing that can cost him. And honestly, I'm not playing Bortles in cash. I'm not playing him in tournaments. I also want no part of Tyrod Taylor. I think this is going to be just a game that Jacksonville is going to run out the clock, and they just want to walk away with the win, and they're going to do that.
There is a 0% chance that I'm using any Bills in cash game or GPP. I mean, this lineup, this defense is historically good for the Jags, but I mean, you mentioned there's no such thing as an easy schedule. Tags, just go look through this schedule. Like, it is unbelievable how lucky they got with their schedule. It's absolutely amazing. They played like three decent teams all year. That's it.
I mean, it just depends on, I guess, where you look at. I don't know. It's just how teams match up. And that's the thing, is like, there's teams that are like really good against, like, they're considered a bad team, like the Cardinals, but the Cardinals, are they really a bad team? I don't think they are. Like, there's a lot of subjective feelings to that. And that's why I don't dig too far into that. Because, like I said, I do believe that the Cardinals are a talented team. I think that the Giants are a better team than they played this year. I think that the Raiders secondary was the weak point of that team, but that team should have been better on defense. Like, there's so many ifs, ands, or buts that go into this stuff that it's just difficult to look back. I know that Fournette's schedule in particular was not very easy, so they probably played a lot more.
You're right.
They probably played a lot easier passing defenses, which is why Bortles' numbers looked solid up until the last 2 weeks.
You know, I'm actually solid. I mean, 2 weeks ago, he had 25 fantasy points, man. I actually thought about using him in cash games. He's probably my number three cash game quarterback this week. Because if you look at what he's done since week 12, 21, 25, 18, 25, 25, and then 5 against the Titans, who they thought they were probably going to play in the playoffs if they lost. So I don't think they were really playing their best football. Blake Bortles, I think, is a solid cash game option. I mean, that's the number two fantasy quarterback over the last 2 months of the season.
I'm afraid that the magic potion was worn off for Blake Bortles. Playing the 49ers and the Texans, or the Titans, those are two of the worst secondaries in the NFL. He threw 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Like, he completed 44% of his passes in week 17. They wouldn't have the starters in the field if they weren't trying to win that game. That's where I stand on it. I do think that they were trying. I think Blake Bortles is going to have those games here and there, which is why you don't give him the ball. That's why I don't play him in cash, because I don't think that there's a chance that he throws the ball 35 times here. The Bills haven't been a very giving defense to quarterbacks. There were just 3 times that a quarterback threw for more than 1 touchdown against them, and just once in their last 6 games. So Bortles is, yeah, he's off my radar in cash. And Tyrod, yeah, like, you don't play quarterbacks against Jacksonville. So yeah, I'm not a big fan of this game in general outside of Leonard Fournette.
What about GPP for Bortles?
No, the Bills just they've been too good on defense. Their safeties and their corners have played so well this year. It's really remarkable with how bad their front seven has played compared to their back half, because the back half of that defense is really good. Micah Hyde was one of the best signings, like, underrated signings this season. Jordan Poyer is playing really well. There's not much to dislike about the Bills secondary with the way they played. So I don't like him in tournaments either.
All right, now Leonard Fournette, I mean, he's the absolute must lock. If anybody tells you differently, I don't think they're worth their salt as an expert, right, Tags? I mean, Leonard Fournette against the Bills, he should get 25-plus touches. The Bills are the worst at defending the run of any team in the NFL, not just the playoffs, any team in the NFL this season, especially once they traded Marcell Dareus. So you just got to play him.
Yeah, 100%. The Bills have allowed 18 rushing touchdowns over the last 10 games. 18. Like, you didn't mishear that. 18 rushing touchdowns in the last 10 games. They were the team that allowed the most touchdowns to running backs this season. They were also the team that allowed the most rushing yards to them. There is, like, they're giving Fournette 19 carries in a game that doesn't matter in week 17. They're going to give him 25 plus touches here. He's going to destroy this defense. Like, this is how the Jags get points this week. So, Leonard Fournette, I'm not shy about it. Like, there's a few weeks, you know, like, there's a few players I'll say that, you know, every week, or maybe not every week, because there's certain weeks where I just don't have a good feel on it. But there's certain weeks where I just have a guy and I will revolve everything around him. Leonard Fournette is that guy this week.
Yeah. And it almost seems like they've been saving him for the playoffs the entire season. They haven't really let him loose once they realized, hey, we're definitely a playoff team. So we're going to see Leonard Fournette let loose. Remember what he did early in the season. That's who Leonard Fournette is. That's what we're going to see this week.
Yep, I agree. Did you see that next NFL's Next Gen Stats? They Leonard Fournette recorded, I think it was the 3 fastest carry speeds this season. He got over 22 miles an hour. Like, no other running back was over 21.2 or something like that, where he had the 3 fastest carries. Like, he reached the highest speed on his runs this year of any running back.
That's incredible.
More than Gurley. Faster than Gurley.
That is a humongous man. Like, 230 yep. pounds wearing full pads. If you guys are baseball fans, Trey Turner is maybe the fastest man in baseball besides Billy Hamilton. He runs 22 miles per hour in a baseball uniform. Leonard Fournette is a freak of nature. 22 miles per hour?
Yeah,
it's incredible,
It was ridiculous. And that's why I saw it was multiple carries that he did that on. So the whole 40 time thing and stuff like that, that's why I always say that stuff's kind of overrated. But Leonard Fournette, yeah. he's a physical specimen. But is there any wide receivers that you want to use in this game? Like, the only thing that I'll say is I think that D.D. Westbrook is in play for tournaments. I like him a little bit more than Keelan Cole because I think his ownership is going to be down. Like, I don't think people are going to want to play D.D. Westbrook after he struggled the last couple weeks. So he's the only one I have any interest in at all.
I'm definitely playing Zay Jones. I'm just kidding. No, there's nobody that I want to play here. D.D. Westbrook, Keelan Cole, maybe for GPP, but there's like 7 other guys I'd rather play. So yeah, I'll have some exposure, but not enough to really even mention them. I mean, Buffalo just doesn't give up big games.
Yep. That's basically where I'm at. I just think, like I said, I'm planning on this game being very boring, and I think the Jags would be okay with that.
Yeah. Now, with tight end, I think you probably thought we weren't going to talk about tight ends in this game because Charles Clay is kind of blah. Mercedes Lewis projected for under 4 points. Mercedes Lewis is my cash game play. He is stupid cheap. And if you want to talk about who's going to get a touchdown this week, he's probably, what, third or fourth for tight ends? They just throw him the ball in the red zone so much. Even if he only gets 3 targets, like, one or two of them is going to be in the red zone. There's a chance he pulls one down. So I'm just going boom or bust with Mercedes Lewis for a touchdown. And if he busts, you know what? So what? I barely spent any money, and at least I have Todd Gurley.
Well, so I'm gonna try and talk you out of this one because so James O'Shaughnessy, he's actually he was on the Chiefs last year. He's the backup tight end in Jacksonville. He's been seeing more targets as of late, and I can't really say why. But he actually saw
Lewis was hurt.
That's what I'm saying. So that like, but Lewis, the snaps have still been there. Lewis didn't play like much less snaps. Like, he was still playing, and he's going to play for this game, obviously. But O'Shaughnessy saw 6 targets in week 16. That tied a season high for a Jaguars tight end. Lewis has seen just 8 targets over his last 4 games combined. Like, Lewis is still playing like double the snaps of O'Shaughnessy, but that's it. Like, I would rather go to the tight end on the other side of the field because at least you know that he's going to get targeted because, as mentioned, LeSean McCoy might not be available for this game. And even if he is, they're not going to be 100%. Charles Clay has now seen 27 targets over the last 3 games. He's turned those into 15 catches for 169 yards. So he's not the type of guy that, like, he's going to win you a tournament because he can go for 120 yards and a touchdown. That's not who he is. But I do think that he should see at least 5-6 targets in this game. And just because of that, he's going to be on the cash radar. It's just like pick your poison with this defense. And I mean, Charles Clay has the best relationship with Tyrod Taylor. We've seen that throughout the entire season. But again, I'm playing Kelsey, so it doesn't really matter all that much. But if you wanted to go cheap at tight end, I would go to Charles Clay.
Yeah. Charles Clay is he's fairly cheap. He's not cheap enough for me, though. I want to spend up everywhere else. Tight end just sucks so bad for cash
for
games.
Sure.
Okay. Final game. It's Sunday afternoon. We get Carolina at New Orleans tags. Now, Cam Newton, he's been really reliable this season, but you haven't mentioned him. Is there a reason why?
He's really sucked against the Saints this year. This is the third time these two teams are going to be playing each other, which is huge. I don't think people understand that. I think the over-under on this game is too high. I think this game will go under. I think it's going to be closer than people think, just because, again, these two teams know each other extremely well. Cam Newton, can he give you that tournament upside? Absolutely. He's the type of guy that can run for 100 yards, two touchdowns. Like, he's better than Marcus Mariota on that front. There's really no reason not to, like, be okay with Cam Newton in tournaments, but in his two games against the Saints this year, he averaged 175 passing yards, one touchdown, 1.5 interceptions, 33 rushing yards, and half a rushing touchdown. So he wasn't very good against them. We'll just leave it at that. And again, this will be the third time they're seeing him. He's coming off a game that he looked worse than he has all season. If you like, you can look at the box score and see that Cam Newton completed just 41% of his passes last week. But if you watch that game, it was even worse than that. Like, he was missing wide open receivers. Devin Funchess running an out route right to the right as he's getting to the sideline. He stops there. Newton takes a while to get it to him. And then when he does throw it, Funchess jumps, grabs that out of bounds, but there's nothing he can do about it. Cam Newton just looked awful. Like, he's a guy that relies on his confidence when he's playing, and his confidence can't be that high after last game against the Falcons, because he looked awful. So, I mean, am I playing him in cash? No. Am I going to play him in a few tournament lineups? Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned those stats. 15.5 fantasy points per game against the Saints, though, too. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at.
That's what his rushing
will
do.
He's been getting it done every single week since week 9. 20 points, 35, 17, 20, 15, 31, 16, 14. The thing is, I mean, if we're talking about passing, I think he's the worst passer in the playoffs. I think he's worse than Marcus Mariota, Blake Bortles, Tyrod Taylor, Nick Foles. He is a terrible, terrible passer. And they're going to be behind in this game. I think the Panthers are going to be losing negative game script. They're going to have to pass quite a bit. That's not what the Panthers are really used to. With that said, I mean, we've seen Cam Newton playing to get to the playoffs. He's rushing the ball 11, 14, 14, 11 times in the playoffs with nothing to lose. Maybe he rushes the ball 15 to 20 times this week, Tags.
Oh, I fully expect him to. That's why I'm saying I expect the rushing yards to be there. I think he's going to rush for 60 yards, 80 yards, something like that. And that's what I'm saying. Like, he does offer you a decent floor. I'm not saying like he's like the worst option in cash. I just think there's better options than him and that cost cheaper, like Alex Smith. I also think Drew Brees is a decent play. If you look at Brees over the last 4 years or last 2 years against the Panthers, who they're a similar team that they were last year, they're actually slightly worse. But in his last four meetings against them, he's averaged 310 yards passing, 2.5 touchdowns. So, I mean, this running game is playing so well. It's another one of those things where it's like the Jacksonville defense, right? It's like you have to pick your poison. Do you want to say, I'm going to sell out to stop Drew Brees? Or do you say, I'm going to sell out to stop the run game that legitimately has run over the entire league? Me personally, I'm taking away the run game because Drew Brees has been this good before and they didn't win anything. So the team has really changed their identity. And I just don't know. This might be the third time around where the teams just get it. They might understand each other a little bit more. So, I mean, both these quarterbacks, I don't think they're bad plays at all. I just think that there's a little bit more risk that comes with them than some other teams that haven't, like the Jags and the Bills haven't played each other. The Chiefs and the Titans haven't played each other. And that's why those are a little bit more enticing.
I don't really think there's risk with Drew Brees, man. Drew Brees at home, in the dome, in the playoffs. The Panthers have been horrible against the pass lately. I'm all over Drew Brees, man. He's my cash game quarterback.
I actually think I said those exact words inside my primer. I said, if you wanted to use Brees and cash, I'm not going to talk you out of it.
Yeah. I mean, you look at what he's done this year. So much of what he's done has been minimized by his low touchdowns. He has just 3 touchdowns once all season. I mean, that's not going to keep up. He throws the ball enough that touchdowns are bound to happen.
Drew Brees is so good. And that's the thing is people, the reason, like, we've been spoiled because he's been throwing the ball like 650 times a year. This year, that didn't happen. He's thrown more than 38 pass attempts just 3 times all year. And that's why his numbers are down. It has nothing to do with his skill set. It has nothing to do with that. The run game has been super efficient. There is no reason that they should go away from that if it's been working. But the Panthers, you mentioned it, they've been bad. They've allowed 9 quarterbacks to throw multiple touchdowns against them this year.
They're not going to have an easy time running against Luke Kuechly either. I mean, it's not like it's going to be just another game for the Saints backfield.
Well, I it's kind of funny because like the only times, so here's a stat I have for you, Bobby. There have been just three occasions where the Panthers have allowed their opponent to total more than 16 carries and average more than 4 yards per carry. So allow a team to sustain a solid run game. Two of those three occasions were the Saints duo. The other one was the Patriots running backs. In the Saints' most recent game against the Panthers, the duo combined for 248 yards and three touchdowns. That was with Luke Kuechly, by the way. That's what I'm saying. Like this duo is, they're ridiculous. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know if the Panthers just refuse to say, you know, we're stopping Drew Brees. We'll let them run. Don't let them run because they will run away with the game. So yeah, I mean, again, this, the only thing that scares me about this game is that these two teams know each other so well.
Yeah. And that makes cash games a little bit dangerous. Man, that's really interesting. I can't believe they dominated them that much. So, like, is Kamara on the table? What about Mark Ingram? I know he's not been getting as many touches because Kamara's been taken over, but I can't really see using either of these guys in cash games just because there's better options.
I agree. I don't think that Kamara is like the worst play because the Panthers, it's like, you know, if you were to try, it's all like this discussing game every week. It's like, who are we going to pick, Kamara or Ingram? And if you look at the Panthers, you mentioned it, they do have a pretty stiff run defense. They've done well. I mean, they struggled against the Saints, but who hasn't? But if they do step up against the run, then Kamara is a lot more involved in the passing game, which is why I would go to him over Ingram. Especially on like a site like DraftKings where you're getting the full point PPR, that matters. He is a little bit more expensive than Ingram. I should say a lot more. He's 1,700 more, but I would still, I'd pay for Kamara if I'm going to do that. And if you're going to play Kamara, you're going to have to take out either Leonard Fournette, or you're going to have to take out like Travis Kelce. And the question is, am I willing to do that? My answer to that is obviously no.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you. Okay. What about Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Stewart? I mean, is there even GPP interest for you in one of these guys?
Not Stewart. I don't even want to talk about Stewart. He lost me a bet. But Christian McCaffrey is fine. Like it's kind of been the way that it's been all year with McCaffrey. You play him in tournaments. There are certain matchups where you could play him in cash. I don't think this is one of them. But I do think he's in play for tournaments.
Yep, I'd use Christian McCaffrey in a few tournaments. I mean, he's like my seventh or eighth option at the running back position. But Jonathan Stewart, yeah, he's not even on my radar. Now, what about wide receiver here? Michael Thomas is another must for me.
Yeah, Michael Thomas is in a really good spot. Like, Michael Thomas has been super consistent, at least 65 yards in 13 of his 16 games this year, including 10 of his last 11. The Panthers have struggled. James Bradbury can't really contain Michael Thomas in the two games they've played this season. He finished with lines of 7 catches for 87 yards and a touchdown. Then the other one was 5 catches for 70 yards and a touchdown. The Panthers, actually, since their bye in week 11, they've allowed 9 wide receivers to finish with at least 70 yards against them. So I think Michael Thomas is very well in play for cash. And obviously, there's always a 2-touchdown game floating in there somewhere. So he's obviously viable for tournaments.
Are you squeezing him in there with Kelce and Leonard Fournette, or are you not able to do it?
Michael Thomas is in my cash game lineup right now. And that's the thing, is I'm going to tweak this throughout the week. But yes, I do have him. I'm paying $7,800 for him.
Cool. Yeah, me too. And then the rest of this game, I mean, Devin Funchess, he's playing hurt. Is Marshawn Lattimore going to be shadowing him? What are the Saints planning on doing their tags?
Yeah, 100%. Devin Funchess is going to be locked down by Marshawn Lattimore. Lattimore, you know, we talked about the completion rate for Brian Poole earlier. Lattimore has only allowed a 52.9% completion rate in his coverage, and he has yet to allow a touchdown in his coverage. And keep in mind, he's played Julio Jones twice and Mike Evans twice. Like, Marshawn Lattimore is like in play for rookie of the year right there with Alvin Kamara. That's why that team, this team has a whole new identity. But yeah, Funchess, I mean, there's always a chance that he can go up and get a touchdown, but what's he going to finish with? You know, 40 yards and a touchdown. I'm not betting on that. I think Ted Ginn is a tournament play. We've seen him get more targets actually once he returned from his injury. He's seen 11 targets in the last two games he's played. So He's really that boom or bust player. So it's just like that's what you look for in a tournament. So if Ted Ginn breaks off a long play against his former team, that's always nice. So I do think he's in play for tournaments. I don't think he's like one where you need to go out and like actively target, but I do think that he's a solid play.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not even using Devin Funchess in tournaments. I mean, Marshawn Lattimore is just a beast, man. I mean, he catches interceptions with his butt.
If somebody hasn't seen that play, they're going to be really confused right now.
Yeah. It was really incredible. Well, they're probably going to think like he just turned around and like caught it with his butt. He was laying on the ground and it landed on his butt.
Right.
Still pretty funny. All right, man. Close it out. Greg Olsen at tight end. Are you even thinking about him? I mean, I know you got Kelce. at cash game. But for GPP, is Greg Olsen a good option against this Saints defense?
I just think he's too expensive for the risk he presents. Like, outside of one game against the Packers, Greg Olsen has finished with less than 30 yards in all the other five games he's played this year. He's been really bad outside of that one game. And it was like that game, if you watch that, Greg Olsen was like, why? Like, they forgot to cover him a couple times, and that's what led to the touchdown. It led to a long completion. So it's rough to take much from that game. I don't know what's going on here. And against the Saints, the Saints have allowed just three tight ends this season to finish with more than 37 yards. That's kind of ridiculous. So Greg Olsen isn't even in my conversation for cash lineups. And even though we know what his upside is potentially, I would be underweighted in tournaments.
Yeah, I've got him as my number six tight end for tournament, so I'm avoiding him too. And Tags, we do need to talk about defense special teams. I know everyone's going to be all over the Jags if they can't afford it, but I'm all over the Saints. I mean, the Saints have a very good defense. Cam Newton is just downright terrible. Sure, they're going to put up 15 to 20 points, whatever the Panthers do, but you can bet on the Saints getting multiple turnovers here, and that's really the name of the game, right?
Honestly, I think the defenses are like priced pretty like right this week. I do think the Chiefs are slightly a better play for me than the Saints, but I think they're really close. The Jaguars are obviously the top play on the board. I don't think that anybody would even try to dismiss that, because the Bills allow, like, I want to say it's the most sacks per dropback, whereas the Jags are second best in terms of sacks per dropback on the opponent. So Tyrod Taylor is going to be under some duress. The Jags have shown you they average over two turnovers per game. The sacks are up there, like Norton, I want to say like 3.5 sacks per game. So yeah, the Jags are easily the number one play on the board. I think the Saints are good. I think the Chiefs are good. There's not much to dislike about those top defenses this week.
I think this is a week two where you use one of those three defenses in GPP. I mean, you could get away with the Bills if Blake Bortles plays like Blake Bortles, but the Bills, I don't really think have that much upside. So I'm going Jags, Chiefs, or Saints in GPP as well.
Fair.
All right, Tags. Well, that's all for today's show, man. And we will be back next week with another DFS show. So make sure to tune in for that. We're going to have four games, do the same type of thing. Thanks again to the sponsor of today's show, teamrankings.com/fantasypros, for exclusive discounts of up to 75% off. For Mike Dagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.